So let's begin. My name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist. And I believe very strongly in the power of marriage and the blessing of marriage, and that marriage is something that each and every one of us can do and be good at and be successful at. And more than that, I believe it's your inheritance, it's your right to have a great marriage. And that's what my Twitter feed and my blog is all about. Today, we're going to be speaking about career versus marriage. And which is more important? I happen to believe that this is a big issue facing younger folks today. Now, this is an issue both before we get married and after we get married. So, it's not just about that 20-year-old that's trying to make that decision of where they want to spend their energy. Do they want to, focus the next 10 years on their marriage and focus on marriage maybe when they're 30s? Because that is definitely one of the dilemmas that young people face. But it's also within marriage itself. So what's the role of your career? And to what extent do your wife and kids have to deal with your career, or vice versa? To what extent do the husband and the children have to deal with your career? So, what's the role of career versus marriage, or career and marriage, I should say? Well, before we discuss this, I'd like to, as usual, I usually bring out the problem statement, and so in today's society, careers have taken on a life of their own, and they've taken on a significance of their own. Usually, in order to have a career, we have to, for most of us, no, so not everybody, so there's careers and things like, let's just say, construction, but even that takes a lot of time and money to go to school to get many careers, right? So it's a big investment. Right. And so a career is not a casual endeavor. It's a big deal, right? It takes time to build up a good position, a good secure position where you feel solid, where you feel like you're not going to get fired, where you feel like you're good enough at your job to, if your company goes under that you're working for, you can move over to another company. It takes time. The many of the professions that people choose take a lot of time to become certified. A doctor takes 8 years, at least, maybe 12. A lawyer takes 7 or 8. A CPA takes time. And even an engineer, just getting your bachelor's degree in engineering for many doesn't cut it anymore. You need to do a lot more than that to get, and again, I'm not talking about somebody who's building websites. I'm talking about a career in, IT, information technology, that's solid. So it takes up a lot of space in our mind and in our time, in our energy, in our wallet. Okay. Another challenge that we have with careers today is that people change jobs frequently. So it's very unsettling. I have a cousin of a nephew of mine, he's moved from place to place to place, jumping after one job to the next. So how can you really think about marriage if this is what he's doing? And another thing is that careers bring in money, and there's a high cost of living today. Granted, if you're going to live in a small town in the middle of Iowa, it's not going to cost you so much money to live. But for most places where you're going to find success in your career, you have to live in proximity. So obviously, California and Seattle and New York are insanely expensive. But even other places like Chicago or Phoenix or Miami are slow, or Dallas or Houston are becoming more and more challenging to find affordable housing. So career is like an important part of our lives. No downplaying that. And so it makes sense that we would focus on our career, right? We have to give that attention if we want to, especially as men. I hope the women here don't feel insulted. Christina, I see that you're here. SJ, one of my favorites, is here. But especially as men, if we're going to take on the role as provider, our career is serious business. I remember when I first started out, when I first got married, I did not have a career. Okay. And I put my wife through hell when I was trying to support the family. And once the first baby came, It was very, very stressful. So, much respect. We have to give a career the respect it deserves. Okay. Now, conversely, let's take a look at the other side, who's standing in the other corner. That's marriage, right? So when we talk about marriage, one of the challenges with marriage is that in order to be married, in order to establish a family, we need two income homes, right? So therefore, I can understand why the marriage would take a back seat, because in many cases we need to be established in our career if you really want to have a family. Women in general want a man who is established. So, another reason why marriage would take that back seat to a career, why marriage would find it difficult to prioritize marriage over a career. Because, many women aren't going to look at you twice if you're just starting out, or if you have no real prospect of supporting your family. I mean, if you have nothing, let's just say you don't really have anything in your hand, you might not be so successful in the dating game. Also, for many women, they want to have the security of their own income, right? Maybe they've had bad relationships in the past and they don't trust men. Or maybe they're just as aware of men as men that many marriages unfortunately end in divorce, and they don't want to be vulnerable in that way. Or perhaps they themselves came from a home where their parents were divorced, and they saw one of their parents suffering, trying to establish themselves after the divorce, when I'm sure it's much more difficult to do that. So there's a lot of forces that are working against choosing marriage over a career, a lot of forces. And needless to say, we think about retirement and insurance and automobiles and car payments and tuitions for our children. And, in many ways, it seems like it would make perfect sense to focus on our career. Okay, well, the question is, what's the cost? What does that cost us as a person, as an individual? What does that cost us as a man? If I'm a woman, what does that cost me as a woman? By the way, I would like to hear from women what they feel about this. And what does that cost us as a society? Where are we headed today as a society, given this situation? There are people who embrace this idea that, from 20 to 30, we focus on our careers, we fool around, we kind of find ourselves, and then at 30, we start looking more towards settling down. And I've heard that, but I'm not sure that's working, to be honest. Again, I would like to hear other people's opinions on that as well, which I'm going to open the floor in a few minutes, but I'm not sure that's working. I'm not sure that brings greater happiness. I'm not sure that brings people closer relationships. I'm not sure that that doesn't add to an individual sense of distrust, trauma. The list can go on. A sense of being unsettled. Are people really happy from 20 to 30? Just, in my opinion, and I'm very biased on this topic, but in my opinion, quote unquote, wasting time. So we can talk about that. However, I don't take that position. I don't take that position. What's the cost? The cost, in my opinion, is we're pushing off that which is most meaningful to ourselves for a fantasy. Okay. And the reason why I say that is as follows. The question that I think needs to be answered is not career versus marriage, but what are we living for? Are we living to work, or are we living to love? Right? What's our purpose? What's the role of a person's career? Where is it that I want to be? Right? What's the point of money? Why are we putting in all that effort in the first place? Right? Young people today are pushing off marriage not because they really want to get married and are working to afford it. I don't really hear that so much because what they say is, I'm focusing on my career, right? If you're working for the sake of getting married, then you're really focusing on your marriage. I know it sounds a little strange because that's not what you're doing, but you're really focusing on your marriage. It's like, think about it in this way as an example. Let's just say you're a politician and you're raising funds for your campaign. You wouldn't say about your fundraising activities that you're not focusing on the campaign, you're focusing on just collecting money. No, the whole thing is for the sake of your campaign. But I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing people say that they're focusing on their career, right? Which leads me to believe that we've inserted some artificial meaning and some artificial status on the career for the sake of a career. And I feel that that's dangerous. Not only dangerous, but it's meaningless. It's so funny. I know that many people in the room, are followers of mine on Twitter in general. So you know that I'm a religious Orthodox Jew. In the Torah, the Bible says that working was Adam's curse. And yet today it's almost like we're just running to do this thing that we were cursed with. Right? The good times was when Adam and Eve had babies. That was the fun time. And the bad time is when Adam and Eve had to toil in order to get their money. So it feels to me as if somehow we've switched things around where we're so confused. Maybe it's out of fear, or maybe we're just brainwashed or disconnected from ourselves and from what's really important to each other. But we're prioritizing and giving an independence to something which is merely a means to an end. Work is for the sake of supporting your family. Work is for the sake of enabling. Work is for the sake of enabling those good things that are really important to you. To love, to have a relationship, to give food for your children and your wife, to afford a place to live. That's all it's for. There's no inherent meaning in work. Now, I want to make an exception to that. Obviously, we all know friends who graduated college and they went into, Habitat for the Humanity. Or I don't know if anybody here is a fan of Better Call Saul. My son and I are watching that together, and we're at the point, don't give me any spoilers, but we're at the point where Kim decides to leave her corporate job to do 100% pro bono. Yeah, there are times in our life and there are careers that we have that can bring inherent meaning to what we do. I think I have multiple jobs. One of mine is a therapist. And so the reason why I went into therapy, it was because it was much more meaningful for me than my other careers, which involve computers and technology and stuff like that. So I get it. I get that career can have a meaning ask, but even what I do here on Twitter and in my private practice, et cetera, doesn't hold a candle to raising my children and loving my wife. Not even close. And if I had to make any sacrifices, it would be on the side of my career for the sake of my family. So, what I'm concerned about is that, what I love to see is like what my son did. My son got married at age 23 or 24, I forgot. Not much of a career. Enough of a career to get an apartment, enough of a career to make sure that there was a roof over his head. And him and his wife worked and he built himself up. He built himself up from being a help desk with computers to getting a few certifications. And now he's like a big network engineer. And with his wife by his side. And she also works, you know. But the point being is that they didn't delay the purpose of their life for the sake of the means of living life. They went right away into the purpose of their life, and they made that the priority. And even before he got married, in his jobs, he would always say, "I'm saving up money so that when I'm married, I have something to bring to the table." It was never for the sake of his career. Well, those are my thoughts. I'd love to open up this conversation to others. I'd love to hear people. Maybe there's something I said that inspired you. Maybe you have a different opinion. Maybe I'd love to hear your own experiences. I'd love to hear from some women, especially from women, because as everybody knows, there is a clock for women. So I wonder how they feel about this. Also, there's trust issues for women, and I'd love to hear from that. We can start out with Tim. Tim, why don't you share with us some thoughts that you have?
Yeah, thanks, Dovid. You gave a great groundwork foundation for this whole conversation. You hit on so many great points, so that was well said, and I appreciate that. I really like where you were going. I think the incentives in society highlight careers as, like you said, that true value, what is really important to you. We are putting careers over family in a lot of cases, or that's at least where certain people are incentivizing the younger generation to go. Where having a family is seen as your life is ending, right? Your life ends after you have kids, all those other stigmas that are just harmful to the family environment. And people are falling for it, right? Men fall for it a lot, and then now it's getting towards women, right? Telling them to push their families off for the sake of their careers. And I think that's where the problem really lies, is a lack of a foundation for your priorities in life, what is really important. Because that career is not going to be there when you're older and need help being taken care of, or maybe you're just feeling a little lonely. Everyone you knew has passed on, and it's meant, for generational family love, right? At that age, at that stage of your life, and your career isn't really going to be there for you in that capacity. So we have to think long term and not just in the moment and just following the numbers of your finances, right? And I think men can fall into this trap because it's easy to fall into the route of provider. We can kind of, as from a fatherhood perspective, a lot of men will think, I'm providing for my family and that's my only role, right? I do really well at that and that's enough. But I would argue that that is ticket to entry for fatherhood. Really, it's what is required of us as men, as leaders of the home and as fathers. But also, we are needed in so many other aspects. Emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, for the support of the family rather than just the finances. So I think for men and women, there's a big confusion as to what is really important here, right? And I love that story of your son. I think, me and my wife actually got married at 24, and it's a similar story, right? I actually held back proposing to her for years. We had been together for about 8 years before I proposed. We were high school sweethearts. And I kept saying, I had these self-limiting beliefs. I had to graduate college, have a nice car, have a great apartment, have a good career before I felt I had anything to offer her. And that held me back. And I didn't even give her a promise ring for a while. And I regret that, right? She's someone that I wish I would have proposed sooner. And so what she said is great. You don't have to have everything perfect, it all figured out. It's the marriage is about, joining together, becoming one flesh, and going through the trials, right? Growing together. I think there's something beautiful in that. And that's what we're going through right now. And so I think that's really what we should be leading towards. But society and all the incentives placed around have diluted that message and make it seem like something unattractive versus the solo career and business success.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. Thank you so much for sharing all that, and I agree. I do agree that is a message that we get from society, and I do agree that that message is detrimental to our relationships. I can understand, like I said, I can understand having something in your hand, you know, not necessarily a nice car, Tim, but I can understand, you know, you're not walking in and you tell your newlywed wife that we're going to be living under the bridge. I get that, or down by the river, as the Saturday Night Live skit goes, in a van. But, you know, to have a fully built out career before you engage in the purpose of life seems foolish. And I'm glad that you and her, you know, made it during that period, and you know that you guys are on a good track. Awesome. Dr. Dre, something or another, did you want to share some thoughts?
Hi, hello, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for having this. It's very nice. It's been a very nice conversation, and listening to you, it's something that I feel everybody should be aware of, so that we could, you know, get it right, you know, as regards marriage. I would like to start this way. There is a verse in the Bible where it's written that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added on to us. It's a very, very popular verse. We all know this verse very well. But what I want to point out as regards this particular verse is as regards marriage. You know, there's this wrong priority that we've placed on, you know, on life as at now. It's more like everybody is going after money, you know? Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I used to use this term when I speak with people, that we are not to become slaves for money, you know, as child of God or as someone who is living life to the fullest. You are not to become slaves for money, and that is why I quoted that verse first. You know, when the verse says that we should seek the kingdom of God first, what I can translate that to this term, that we are to find our purpose first, like the divine work that has been given unto us. I think that we need to find first.
Aha. And you'd say that's marriage.
Exactly. So I feel we are failing at this point of not figuring out who we are, what has been given to us as regards gift and talent, and what we are to do, why we are living. Like, before we leave the surface of the earth, what mission has been given unto us to do? Many people don't figure this out, and yet they enter into the confines of marriage without knowing all those things. And when they get into marriage, because of their pursuit for money, they tend to like mess up in marriage.
I agree with what you're saying, definitely. And I see this, and maybe Coach Noah, you can share with us some of your thoughts, or Reeves also, or Amy, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it as well. But sometimes I even see that after they get married, like you said, Doctor, I see that people will fight about their career. Like, I'm working with I had worked with one young couple where he was making tons and tons of money, and they were still fighting. There was so much money going around that it wasn't necessary that anybody worked, and yet they were still fighting about the careers, like whose career was more important, her career or his career, you know. And it's almost like, what's going on here? Like, we're putting the cart before the horse. What's happening? Why is it that we feel so, why is it that we feel so compelled to work? And again, I'm not here to in any way tell people that they shouldn't have meaningful life outside of child raising or anything like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, are we focused on the right path? Are we really putting our values where they belong, basically? So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate that. Let me hear, there was here maybe Coach Noah, did you want to share some thoughts on this?
Yeah, it is. So the question, which is more important, is really going to be situational. If you're married, you've taken an oath before God and the people that matter to you that you and your wife become one person and that you're going to prioritize that. And if you're not married, then, you know, you have a different level of freedom for that. Now, that isn't to say which is going to be happier or not, but a marriage is a commitment, whereas a career is something you do. And that's a huge difference. We have, in society, we have stopped taking oaths as important as they really are. And when you swear an oath, especially an oath before God, that's as sacred as the marriage, you have to treat it as sacred. Whereas your career, that's the profane. That doesn't mean it's evil or bad. That just means it's not something to be deemed holy. And we've gotten that twisted around in a lot of people's lives. The marriage is treated as something ordinary, and the career is treated as something sacred. And whenever we invert healthy, natural things like that, we're going to pay a cost. And that we pay that cost in our soul, and we pay that cost in the quality of the relationships we have. We simply can't put our marriage second to our career and have a happy marriage. Eventually, it's going to bust.
Wow, I love that. I love what you just said. I think that was brilliant, to be honest. I love how you explained it like that, like that the marriage is holy and the career is mundane or secular. And when we have that perspective, I agree with you. It's like it, the kind of choices we make become obvious. You know, we would always focus on what's best for the marriage, not what's best for my career.
Our career should serve our needs. We should serve the needs of the marriage. And if we keep that in mind, then this individual decisions, what am I going to put first, become very, very easy. And the deep problem is we've lost the correct priorities. We no longer prioritize holy things, whether it be religious or not. We don't prioritize the sacred anymore. And we have so many problems in our lives because of that.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Like it's so interesting when you hear kind of people talking, it's almost as if, you know, I'm going to be focusing on my career and I'll get married along the way as if that's just like an adjunct to what I do for work. You know, I think that's like a good way of giving the example of what you're talking about. You know, and I have heard that. I just didn't think about it like the way you put it. You know, it's almost as if, you know, I have a business, I'm a doctor, I have a profession, and I want somebody to join me in my mission of being a doctor. And it's like, no, that's not the way it works. I'm married, I'm a husband and father, and the way I support my family is through practicing medicine. You know, and that's a big twist on what I hear regularly today. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. It's great. Christina, did you want to? It's Christina. I want you to have an opportunity to say something, and then Dream. I'd like you to share something too.
Hi. Thank you for this space. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that a company. You know, I've worked for some really great big companies, corporate world, and over the years, and the one thing I will say about big companies is that they care about themselves. They do not care about us or our families. They care about what you're giving them, what you're putting into the company. And when the time is right or when they need to, they'll let you go. You know, they're very quick to let you go in some cases. So I don't think our priority should be to these big corporate companies or, you know, I would say, yes, work is to live and to survive. Work is to, you know, make the money you need to make so that you can live a decent life. And somebody touched on it earlier. I think it was Dr. Dre. I mean, everything in glory and excellence for God, I think, is how I live my life. And, you know, I just pretty much, I'm working. I love my job. And, you know, in the end, it's a job. And any day they choose to, they can let me go if they want to. And I know that. So obviously, you know, I'm not saying don't work hard. You've got to work hard at, you know, whatever you're doing. But family is most important. Family is what's going to be with you through the end, through life, you know. And priority has to be with your family. They're the people you love. They're the people that you're with all the time. They're the people that you do pour into. And I love what Coach said about, you know, keeping marriage sacred, and that's got to be most important. So that's where I'm going to lean on with that. I also have an HR background. I'm not in the HR field anymore, but back then when I was, I will tell you that companies do look for women when they're interviewing women. They want to see, like, if it's a young woman coming in, unfortunately, they do look at the fact that, oh, well, is she engaged or is she married? Does she have children? How much will that take away from the company? It's pretty sad, but I've seen it. It shouldn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah, it really should not happen. I was shocked to be in a meeting like that where they were actually discussing, you know, this candidate who was great for the role. Like, I was blown away by the fact that this was even a conversation. And
of course,
it didn't sit well with me because I'm, you know, the one thing I loved about being in HR was just, you know, following the rules. Like, I'm a very rule-oriented person and, you know,
sure,
loyal to what is right and doing what's right. So I will say, sorry, guys, I've been working out, so I'm a little out of breath. But I
good,
will say,
good for you.
I will say that, you know, I just want to make those points. Like, keep in mind, you know, yeah, it's you know, do your best. I feel that we should do our best in everything we do in our lives, especially when it comes to work and, you know, what we're doing. But also just keep in mind that I walk into work every day knowing that it could be my last day because I've experienced it. You know, I've experienced it before. And our loyalty to the company is not the same loyalty doesn't come back to you all the time.
Okay.
You know, family is most important. So, like, in my situation, my fiance is 10 years older than I am. And at one point when we were, you know, first together, our pay rates were about the same, pretty close anyway. Now he's in a different situation. He got let go from a company he worked for 30 years. 30 years
oh
he was devoted to this company and they let him go. So he's at a place
wow.
now where he's looking at his life differently. Like, well, what do I want to do? You know, that job was stressful. I know I don't want to do that. He kind of feels like that's his main skill set, but he doesn't enjoy doing it anymore. So he has a different job. I personally feel like he should be able to do whatever he wants to do. He's closer to retirement than I am. So why not, you know, as long as we can still manage and pay the bills that we pay together and, you know, I pay what I pay, I'm currently making more money than him, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me one bit because I want him to be happy and I want us to be happy. And that's more important to me than anything. Like, you know,
wow.
Yeah. You know, our happiness is what matters and we still get the bills paid. We do what we have to do. We still are able to do fun things and travel when we need to travel. So, you know, it's all about balance. And I think women especially need to remember to keep that balance alive, whether it's work, you know, church, like everything that we do in our lives has to have some sort of balance. And if you're finding that, you know, you're juggling and struggling with time management, then get on top of that. But all of this stuff is very important. And family, I say, you know, God first, family next, and that's all together. So just kind of, you know, do the best you can for those two things in life, and you're going to do well. That's
awesome.
All I have to say.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, Christina, thank you so much for sharing all that incredible wisdom and your story, and that's really, really important. I want to ask you a question. I don't know how you feel about. I'm going to ask you a personal question, and then you're welcome just to say, you're welcome to answer it, and then you can choose also just to say, I don't feel comfortable answering it, and that's totally cool. Is that okay with you?
For sure.
Okay, so one thing that I wanted to bring up, and I know we have some other people that want to speak, so we will give them a chance. But one thing I wanted to bring up specifically to women is, to what extent do you feel that either yourself or other women you know are pushing off marriage because they're afraid of not being able to support themselves if their marriage fails? So what I'm trying to basically get at is that I'm wondering, and this is just my own personal, you know, kind of thought, if saying I'm focusing on my career is just a front for basically saying I'm afraid my husband's going to leave me and I'll be stranded and in a very vulnerable and insecure space.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with saying that if you're afraid your husband's going to leave me, you shouldn't be getting married in the first place. If you already have that fear ahead of getting married, you're not in the right place to take that step yet. Not that that person's not for you or not, you know, you need to do some growing first. Second of all, I've been in a position in my life in the past where I was that woman who was seeking a partner. And this is the flaws in me, right, from before. I was seeking a partner not only so that I could have a family unit for my children, so that I could have a man who would be a father to my children. Back then, I didn't realize I didn't need to have someone come in. I would have been enough to just, you know, I was enough to take care of them. I mean, I did it for many years on my own, and they're great kids. So, you know, that's okay. Something I wish I did not purposely desire and want for that reason. I think when you have a partner, it should be for different reasons than, you know, specifically wanting or feeling like you need to have a partner so that your children have a father in their lives. Number two, I at that time in my life, I was not as financially successful as I am now. So I struggled at times, and that was another thing that made me want. So I was the opposite. I wanted to have another partner in my life so I could be more financially stable. Now I'm in a different place in my life where I got to a point where I said, no, you know what? I get to be financially stable on my own. I can survive on my own. I don't think that should be something that stops somebody from entering marriage. Definitely not, because you should be joining lives. You should be combining everything, and you should be one once you're married. So I don't think women should do that now. I think that may be what's happening with the younger generation. I think they look at marriage as a negative thing, and they're not seeing the greatness that marriage can be. But, you know, for me, it was the opposite. I grew into being totally independent. I can carry myself regardless of, you know, what happens in my life. If my fiance, something were to happen to him medically and he were to pass away, I've thought about that. You know, we were 10 years difference. We're 10 years apart. So there's a chance that either I could go or he could go before. We could go before each other. So I'm prepared. I can financially take care of myself. That's a good place to be regardless. I would
That's encourage great.
Every woman. I would encourage every young person or old person to just get to that place if you're not at that place. But no, you do not need to be there when you're getting married. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely think that you've shared with us, you know, some good insights. And I love the fact that, you know, that you're so flexible with regards to who's making money and who's bringing in the money, and that you feel very strongly that a marriage by definition means that you trust that it's going to work out till death do you part. That's awesome. Good. Amy, did you want to share? Yes, of course. Amy, did you want to share something? Or I see that you...
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, David?
Thank God. I'm doing well.
Oh, it's good to hear from you. I see T wants to talk. I could talk about this a long time. You know, okay. Anybody that's been following me for very long knows that this is something that I have a little bit of a interest in. And what do you want me to say? What do you want to know?
Well, you know, you always have some sort of truth bomb that'd be nice to hear. I mean, maybe there's a message you want to give to the younger generation about, you know, what was most valuable to you, and that maybe, you know, was putting the brakes a little bit on your career worth the beautiful family that you have today? And how do you feel about from that angle?
Okay. Well, from the voice of experience, I don't know that I did everything right. I did the best that I could in the situation, and tried to get God's guidance at different turns in the road. But my experience, I was always a very academic person, and I loved I loved when I went to college. I loved college. I was the person sitting on the front row in front of the teacher, wow. taking notes and making good grades and all of that. And but I also loved my husband very much. And I met him when I was pretty young. So we actually married when I was a sophomore in college. Junior, I'm sorry. Between sophomore and junior year. I really, pretty early on, I was faced with, my teachers and professors pushing me to go to graduate school. Well, I got pregnant. Uh-huh. And so we were expecting pretty fast. So I knew I wanted to be there. I didn't want to be going to graduate school. I was raising a child and I didn't want to have a high pressure job in academia. I don't know if those jobs are high pressure, but I didn't want to have a consuming job outside of my home. So I did get a teacher certificate and started teaching at our local high school. And I did want to teach part-time, but at that time that was not accepted really. And so I did find a part-time job teaching at a private Christian school. And after my son was born, I switched over and did that a few days a week. I would go in and teach a few days a week. Now when my second,
you made it work, basically.
I was trying to.
Yeah.
To be honest, I was raised as an athlete and a scholar. That was always pushed in my house to get good grades and to do all those things. And I didn't really have homemaking skills. So our house kind of became a disaster area.
Wow. So,
When the second baby came, it was just, books, papers, baby stuff, everything all over the place, all the time. My husband had a high pressure job and was the main breadwinner. And we both agreed that I really needed to cut back and just be there for the children. And so I resigned from the part-time teaching job and just came home. And that was really hard. That was hard for me. And, y'all are talking about work. I've always thought work was a great thing. I still love to work. And I see it as also a sacred thing. I feel like people were created. I think God created us to work, to have families, but also to work and improve and build and do all kinds of great things. And I started to understand through a lot of prayer and reading that the work that I was doing in my home was also work, that was work. And it was important. It was really important. And when I just slowed down and started focusing on things like washing the dishes or folding laundry or, taking care of the children, there was meaning there. So many people, women that don't do that, they're afraid they'll get bored at home if they've been in a profession or a career. And that can happen if you don't begin to appreciate what you're doing in the home. And I think that is one thing that is really missing today, is we just completely undervalue the work of the home.
And that's don't a great see point. It, that's a really
don't
great
see
point.
It as important. So...
It's godly work. It's godly work, uh-huh. for sure.
Mm-hmm. So that, I guess that's what I'll add today, is that I think if you are a woman that is thinking about career versus marriage, I believe that work is a career. I believe that homemaking is a career. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, for sure. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Always with the good wisdom. Appreciate it. T, if you want to share a few thoughts, for sure, we'd like to hear from you. I think you've been on here once before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. So what's up, guys? I'm a little younger, so I've got the Gen Z perspective. but I have a Colombian girlfriend, so I like to think I have more third-eye view of the American male-female career problem. Okay. But I love to look at the Supreme Court as a little like Rorschach test for the changing view of womanhood in America. And I think it's especially interesting that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, liberal feminist icon, whatever you name it, I think had three kids before her law career.
Wow.
And right now, our liberal justices, Kagan and Sotomayor, are both childless. And Amy Coney Barrett, who has five biological kids and two adopted kids, actually was on the Supreme Court at a younger age than her childless counterparts. So I'm Christian, I'm Catholic, but I recognize that that is a fading view, maybe in American life. But I think a pragmatic message to the women of America is that you could potentially have career and family, but it is much harder to start a family at 40 than it is to start law school at 40 or whatever, academia at 40. And I think that needs to be kind of the most important message to American women, is that some can do both, but for those that can't, I can't believe that having a family has got to be worse than working some middle management job. And I think some of the challenge for the modern woman is they all think they could have these really illustrious and high caliber careers, but no men can have that. Men are fighting for the top 10% jobs, and it's not going to be any different for the women. So when it comes down to that kind of cost benefit analysis, is that hyper competitiveness really, really going to be what satisfies them?
Right.
So there's that. Right. And my other point, I also have a little sister. She's 22. And some of her gripes about the world, I think, reveal that some of the masculinizing of women isn't entirely due to them just sitting and thinking and wanting to be the boss lady. But some of my sister's critiques of the world are half the guys in her university are very feminine or even straight up gay. So she goes to the university, very feminine, very, very wanting that traditional relationship. And then she just doesn't find the men. And I think there's a lot that's been said about, you know, who's maybe to blame for that. But I think it's a fact that has to be entered in the equation, that when women don't have healthy men that they could be charmed and romanced by, it kind of looks like a post-war economy where the woman have to masculinize himself and become the man, so to speak.
So that's, how interesting.
I mean, that's what I'll add to the conversation. But I really think, regardless of religion or lack of, I really think the message to our women should be family and career can both be done, but family has a shorter timeline than career.
Good. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's not only biologically correct, but I happen to believe, and that's what I'm trying to get from some of the ladies here, you know, who, like Christina shared and Amy shared, and, you know, it's just kind of like one of my, it's kind of like one of my curiosities. You know, I'm not a woman, so it's hard for me to know, but one of my curiosities is always, like, as a therapist, I'm always saying to myself, like, what's going on under the covers? You know, what's under the hood? What's really happening? You know, and Amy, I know I want Winter to speak, and I want Epic Father to speak as well. Amy, you looks like you have something to say, though.
I do. I just want to notice what he said. I agree with all of that. I just have to tell you about this will be really short. I want to hear what the others say too. But I did go back to work after my children were grown. It was incredibly difficult. I mean, I just want to say that.
Uh-huh.
And it was horrible, actually. I mean, I was good at it, but it's really hard to go back after you've run your own home and you have been the master of your ship, the mistress of your ship, to go back and work at a low level and work for somebody else. That is really, I found it very difficult. Now, I shared this with my doctor is actually a woman. I shared this with her when I retired, my second time going back to work. And she said she was so happy for me. I retired really early. And she said, you know, I tried to combine this and family, and it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. And she said, I tell women that want to go into medicine, especially she's OBGYN, especially this, that it's going, this vocation will consume your entire life. And you have, it's just really hard to combine those two things and be ready to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice both your profession as well as your family. You're going to feel like you're not really doing either one the justice that they deserve. And, you know, I hear, and I was a little shocked by that because she's a really good doctor.
right. But especially as medicine, it's really, really hard.
Especially medicine. But I know young girls tell me that a lot, that that's what they want to do. So, but I think that there is some reality there, that it's good to speak to the reality to the young women of the sacrifices that do have to be made. Even if you go back after you raise your children, you're older and you are, you're tired. You're tired of raising children. And, it's never going to be really easy, but okay. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much for letting me talk, Dominic.
Of course, Amy, you're my favorite. No problem. I know Epic's been waiting, Reeves, or Winter. I'd love to hear from you. You've been poking around here since the beginning, Winter. So if you want to share something, I'd love to hear.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I had to go make a phone call. So, but I've been thinking about this topic, because I come from a widow's perspective. So I was a homemaker, and I still am, but what I was going to add is, now that my kids, it's going on 18 months, and now I'm like, okay,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Well, now that my kids are older, they're going to be, I have three toddlers. Well, I have a 3-year-old right now, a 2-year-old, and then I have an 11-month-old. He'll be 1 next month. And I think, okay, well, now they're young enough. So my in-laws, because I'm really close with them still. And so they're like, you come live with us and we can help you. You can go back to school, get on your feet. And I thought about this, like, I did not expect this. No way. Like for my life. And I know that sounds shocking to some, but growing up, I didn't have a mother or a father. I had my father, but he was not a father. And my mother, she just left. So I kind of like raised my own, and I told myself that I can't control the family I was brought into, but I can control the family that I was, that I made. And to an extent, I can, but life showed me that, like, what happens if this happens and if this happens? But anyways, I was in a space the other day, and there was young girls in there, or young women, actually, between my age. I'm 24. So these women, I don't know their age, but I would say are between, 18 to 30. And there was all but, like, one guy in there. There was, like, 10 of them. And I could tell that the way that they spoke about men or whatever, that their views were a little bit different than mine, which is okay. I like speaking to people who have different viewpoints. And they were asking me questions about, because I was new. And I had mentioned that I was a widow and had 3 kids. And I'm like, 3 kids? That's a lot. And I said, well, I really wanted 16 children. And there were like 16 children, and one girl said, 16 children, what career can you do with that? I thought in my head, like, she and her perspective, I don't know her, but what I was thinking was, she thought of her career first rather than her family. And me, I was the opposite. I always thought I wanted children first, and then career-wise, I'll just do whatever, to make ends meet, or when time is ready, I'll just go start. I didn't even think of a career. And so I've just been thinking about that. Like, I feel kind of bad sometimes because I just stay home, for right now. And I see all these other women that are like my age and out here chasing the bag. And it's like, Well, and I'm just thinking in my head, like, no, like, right now you're focusing on your family. And then when we're the same age, they're probably going to just start. They're going to start what you already have overcame. And you can share the wisdom that you got when you were younger to them. And I was like, yeah, like, and you could still get a career. And they could share that perspective of getting a career. But, like, I can go to, like, Christina. I love Christina. And she can help me how it's like to be a single mother and working. And you know, that's just my two cents on it.
I really appreciate it. And again, my heart goes out to you for having lost your husband. And I do respect your desire to have family and to raise it. And like, I love, one of the things that I loved about what you just said was that I can't control the family I was born into, but I can control the family I'm going to make. That's a very powerful sentiment. And I really appreciate that. And it comes through in your words and in your tone, and God bless you. And I hope only good things for you and your whole family. Reeves, did you want to share something? You started to speak a few minutes ago.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Thanks for holding this space.
Sure.
Hey, so first, I'm going to disagree with you. The book of Genesis actually has work occur before the fall of man. So if you read Genesis chapter 1, you have the creation of man, and then in that process, he's called to be fruitful and multiply. To fill the earth. And
are you calling that fruitful and multiply? Are you saying that that's work, Reeves? I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
It's on the list of work. I guess it depends on the
okay,
day.
Well, I see where the definition is. Okay, where the disagreement is. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, but you have fruitful and multiply, and then you have fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, yada, yada, yada. All that is in chapter one, and all that's before the fall of man. And so, actually, part of the Protestant Christian tradition is the doctrine of vocation. And I haven't heard anybody talk about this just yet, which is why I wanted to chime in, because Martin Luther famously introduced the doctrine of vocation. Maybe it existed before him, I don't know, but it's for Protestant Christianity, Martin Luther introduced the doctrine of vocation. And vocation actually includes religious and secular work. And the doctrine of vocation teaches that specifically man does these things to serve his neighbor. Okay. And the doctrine of vocation includes the work that you do for like a career, but it also includes the work that you do as a husband, the work you do as a father, the work you do as a mother, or the work that you do as a wife. It even includes the work that you do as a student, part of your education, or even the work you do as a brother to your siblings, or a son to your father, or daughter to your mother. All those things are wrapped up in what's known as the doctrine of vocation. And they're all under an umbrella, which is loving and serving your neighbor, right? And so we kind of, in our modern world, the vernacular that we use is like, oh, you have a career, or maybe you're staying at home, right? But really, this Protestant doctrine puts all of those on the same level of service to your neighbor or loving your neighbor through these acts, which are known as vocations. So through this doctrine, you would never see like being a plumber as something that's better than being a mother, or being a CEO as something that's better than being a father. Because all of them are vocations. All of them are gifts from God so that we can serve our neighbor. Like, that's my main role as a father, is to serve my kids and love them, you know, and bring them up in the home. Just like and I mean, not just like, but in a different way, I would serve my neighbor by being a plumber and fixing a problem that he has, you know, for whatever pipes are broken or something like that. But all those are callings from God, and you can't neglect any of them that you're called to. So ultimately, it kind of, the way that I look at it is, it kind of comes down to like, how many of these callings can you fulfill or do at one time, right? So like, in some situations, you can't adequately fulfill a vocation that is serving your neighbor in a career and also serve your children in being a mother, right? Because your kids require too much work. You're going to detract from being a mother and detract from the job that you do. And like Americans, we don't want to hear this because we want to do everything, right? We want to have the career and have the kids and be like the professional sports team and be like the model on stage, right? Flexing with the perfect six-pack abs. Like, we want to do all of those because we believe that we can, right? And we've been told that we can do everything. But really what we should do is just be as faithful as we possibly can with all of those vocations that we've been given. And in some cases, that means that you're going to have to choose one over another, you know? And
different. So how do you make that, like, in terms of the clergy? So I want to stay away from making this into a religious conversation, although I do appreciate the fact that you're bringing this up, for sure. So don't. I'm totally cool with that. But I do want to ask you, you know, how, as a Christian, you know, how do you prioritize? I mean, if your wife says, I want you to spend more time with the family because that's your godly duty. And then you say to her, well, there's this doctrine, the Luther doctrine, that says that fixing my next door neighbor's pipes is also godly work. So therefore, that's just as important. So da 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 da. Like, how do you, as a Christian, you know, say to yourself, and maybe you don't. I'm asking, as somebody who's not Christian, how do you say to yourself, well, I know all this is godly work, which I love that you're saying that. I do really appreciate that. And I do, you know, agree with you on that. But at the same time, there's a priority here, or maybe there's not. Share with me your thoughts on that, if you would.
Sure, absolutely. Well, for sure, there's going to be different seasons of life. And I think most of the time, as Americans, we have a bent towards over-prioritizing our careers in that vocation of serving our neighbor, because we see it as more important, right? So if my wife is telling me, hey, you're prioritizing work over the family, then I'm probably prioritizing work over the family. Like, she probably wouldn't be saying that if that wasn't happening, right? So there has to be a balance, though, obviously, because most cases I can't not work. Most people are not blessed with the abilities to not work. So part of that is even like picking your career, right? Like, I quit my old job because it was taking so much time away from my family. I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, I was gone like 14, 15 hours a day, and I didn't get to see my kids. So I actually quit that job to start another job that allowed me to prioritize my family over my work, right? So so some of those are going to be cues that I get, like, you know, if I don't recognize where my faults are, but like, there's going to be cues that I get from my wife. There's also going to be cues that I get from my friends or my family or my church, right? Because I'm not like a standalone person. Like, I'm in a community of people who also know about me and know about my life and are holding me accountable. So, yeah, if I get out of balance, you know, like, I rely on the people around me to help give me cues to make changes, you know?
Uh-huh. So you're saying that, like, it's more like organic. There's not like any particular doctrine that you follow. It's kind of like, you just take, you're part of a community. You're part of a, you know, you listen to feedback, and from there you kind of make wise decisions that are in the best interest of those who you love.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. So, I mean, I think everybody is going to have a tendency to go off path in any of these directions, you know, and maybe some people have their own bents. But I guess my main point is, you know, I don't really see like the when I see about that career, there is a way, like even pastors, there's big problems where pastors overemphasize taking care of their church and neglecting their family, right? Even though they're doing God's work in what they're doing, there's plenty of pastors that end up getting divorced or their kids grew up to hate Christianity or the faith because their dad wasn't around because he was always out doing ministry with other people and not focusing on the family, you know? Actually, that even happened. I'm not going to tell all the stories, but that happened with my own dad. His dad was a Christian, and his dad was always gone doing ministry with other stuff, and he was never home, right? And he didn't have anybody there to be like, hey, you know what? You should stop doing that and go home and have dinner with your family, right? So I do have in my life, like, you know, I have checks and balances that I have for myself. Like I have goals every day, right? Like a goal is dinner with the family every night. A goal is put my kids to bed every night. A goal is spend the weekend with the kids, right? So like I have those goals that are part of my life that they're kind of like check marks or like checkpoints that let me know like, okay, I've been successful today. I was able to take the kids to school or pick them up or, you know, whatever. I have like about four checkpoints of things that I want to do every day with the family. And if I can do those things, then I know like I'm going in the right direction. I'm doing the right thing. But those are self-made, right? Like nobody told me to create those. I created those myself as just points of reference to help myself.
Okay, excellent. Oh, that sounds terrific. I love that. And I love what you said about, I do agree with you fully that, and Amy also, with the idea that the work that we do is ordainly commanded, or divinely ordained, I should say. I mean, God definitely didn't want us to sit back and just drink pina coladas on the beach. That wasn't the point. He definitely has a mission for humanity. And part of that, like you said, is to subdue the earth and to take care of it. And it's interesting, we can have another spaces about how that's actually being manifest today. Awesome. Awesome.
There's actually a book. I forgot who wrote it. There's a book, if anyone wants to reference it. It's called God at Work. And it basically goes over the doctrinal vocation. And and you can even just Google it. Like if you just Google doctrinal vocation, it'll pull up. But the main goal there was to help you to be able to see God in the mundane, right? Like the doctrine of vocation lets you see God working through the delivery man who's delivering your Amazon packages. God is working to provide you food through the grocery store and the farmer, right? Where we normally think of God working as like a supernatural act that happened where manna was falling from heaven, right? Where it's like, no, God's actually working in the mundane things because he's orchestrated all these people to be doing these vocations. And so, you know, anyway, that's off the topic.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. Thank you for sharing that. Amy, I know you wanted to say something to Reeves. Did you want to share it?
Oh, is my mic on? My mic is on. I'm sorry.
It is. That's okay. We hear you in the background.
Have I been making noise? I'm sorry. I've just been sitting. Hopefully nothing was said, but I've been sitting here going through recipes. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Reeves, everything you said, you know, maybe you thought I like accidentally was pushing the 100% button over and over, but I so agree with that. And I think that is what you had to say about, you know, everything, all of our work we do is important. And I think people think that only the work they get paid for is important. That's really a pretty modern way of looking at work, I think. I think in the past, people saw everything. Maybe that's what you were talking about at the beginning, Davith, about people didn't necessarily see work as something that they were supposed to get a gold star for. I don't know, but it's something you do as part of life. It's part of serving God. But you have to have your priorities in order. And that's something I'm writing about. I have written about a lot. And that is getting the priorities. If you cannot, for a man, I think it's interesting to hear this from a man's point of view and how and they get their priorities in order and how they balance their life. I know that's very difficult because they're often the main breadwinner. But thanks for sharing all that. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Noah, did you want to have a chance to share something? I loved it when you shared before, so...
Thank you. Yes, this difficulty in balancing our time between what we have to do in our careers and what we need to do with our families and even personal time for prayer and meditation is an old problem. This is not a problem of modern civilization. In Ecclesiastes, we're given the advice that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. And it's reminding us of this so that we set aside time for the proper things. And what this means is that we need to set this aside and do it consciously. Whereas what normally happens is we end up on the thing we're doing and we're stuck there and we end up neglecting the other things because what is in front of us, what feels urgent, gets all the attention. There's this thing, you know, whoever yells loudest gets the most attention. And it's whatever problem calls us the most gets the most attention. And that's not always the right thing to do. What is urgent is not always the right thing to be doing in the moment. And so what I do every week is I take about half an hour on Monday and I plan how I will divide the use of my time up throughout the week. Not, you know, I say that I will work during these hours, not necessarily what I will work on, but those will be dedicated to work. This will be dedicated to prayer. This will be dedicated to my family. And then each day I take a look at what my plan for the day is, and in a meditative, prayerful manner, I set my priorities for the day. And if we take it consciously like this, we're not going to have these problems of ignoring important responsibilities because we've given the time to weigh them out. And this puts us in charge of our schedule versus putting chaos in charge, which is what happens if we just do things as they come up.
Yes, I'm definitely the chaos first type person. So maybe I'll become one of your clients, Noah, because I definitely could use some help in that area for sure. yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that's so important. And in the Jewish religion, we do have a daily prayer that we go to temple every morning. And so I do get a chance to choose at that point to either pray with authenticity, which happens every once in a while, or just focus on what's going to happen during the daytime. But I try to give it a few minutes, speak to God a little bit, say hi, focus on, you know, the important values for a few minutes if I can. And I think that is very beneficial. So I respect the fact that you do that. That's great. Okay. Well, we've had a great, you know, spaces here. I feel like we've had wonderful speakers. I really respect the fact that so many people have come up and shared their thoughts. Christina, I in particular appreciate your courage for sharing your story. And Tim, your wisdom, you know, Coach, and Dr. Dre, and Reeves, and Amy, and Winter, I really just really appreciate everybody who comes on and those who just are here to listen also. So, yeah, I think we've had an interesting conversation, and it's not over. We all have to make these decisions in our own life. And as some of the gentlemen were saying a little bit earlier, it's not a battle which is won in one day. And even Amy was saying it's a constant struggle, career versus marriage, work versus home, family versus community. It never ends. It's part of the fun that we get because we're humans that God put into this world, and we're all trying to serve him and do the right thing. And it's not always easy. And It'd be nice to have a perfect path that was written out for us, but that's not what God wants. He wants us in part to figure out on our own too. So God bless everybody. Have a great day. And until next time, if you need to, if you want, this Twitter space will be up on my website, davidfeldman.com. Many of the people who spoke today are coaches themselves. You can always reach out to them. You can just follow them on Twitter. And God bless. Take care, everybody.